We will start this Bible study. It is called the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, and I would like to start in Genesis 11. And like I say, some of these statistics I will read to you are a little bit graphic. I warn you beforehand, because we're not here to offend anybody, but with the subject we're going over, I believe it's extremely serious. And there's really no way to sugarcoat some of these things. Genesis 11, starting in verse 1. It says, "And the whole earth was of one lip and one speech. And it happened, as they traveled from the east, they found a level valley in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. And each one said to his neighbor, 'Come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build a city and a tower with its top, the heavens, and make a name for ourselves, that we not be scattered on the face of all the earth.' And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of man had built. And Yahweh said, 'Behold, the people is one, and the lip one to all of them. And this they are beginning to do, and now all which they have determined to do will not be restrained from them. Come, let us go down and mix up their language, so that they cannot understand man's evil speech.' And Yahweh scattered them from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased from building the city. On account of this, its name is called Babel," confusion, "because Yahweh mixed up the speech," "of all the earth there. And Yahweh scattered them abroad from them on the face of all the earth." Boy, what an interesting story, huh? And certain things we learn there. Two very important things. The first thing we learn is that when mankind is united in speech and purpose, to Yahweh it's called an evil thing. You know, what's so evil about what they did? Didn't say their intent, didn't really say why they were doing it, or you know, anything bad that really came out of it as we're reading. But to Yahweh, when mankind is united in speech and purpose, it's called an evil thing. Excuse me. Technology will always be used for an evil purpose. I think we know that by now. We're living in the biggest technological explosion in the history of mankind. Basically, mankind lived 5,900 and some odd years the same way, with the wheel, the horse and buggy, you know, simple people. In the last 50 to 100 years, there's been an explosion, and now technology is doubling about every 18 months or less in the world. Albert Einstein said, and I quote, "I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones." And he actually said if he would have known that this great technology, this great experiment, this great thing that he discovered with the splitting of the atom was going to be used to make weapons that can destroy every man, woman, and child from the planet, he would have never used it. Would have never discovered it. Would have never did what he did. The second thing we learn from Genesis 11, is that when a universal human effort is coordinated, Yahweh calls it Babel, confusion. When a universal human effort is coordinated, Yahweh calls it Babylon, confusion. The word picture, I've said this before, for Babylon, Babel, is when there are two heads of the family. When there are two heads of the family, that's literally what Babylon, confusion is. We know that's the biggest problem in the USA today. We talked about that this afternoon. I'm not really going to hit too much on that tonight. And in the Yahweh family, this is speaking about mankind having his own plan apart from Yahweh's. And that's really what the problem is here. I mean, if you read between the lines, Yahweh set certain parameters. He set certain things in the Garden of Eden. He set certain things in creation. But mankind felt he knew better. Mankind was trying to make his own plan apart from Yahweh's. Same way the New World Order is. You know, we can come to universal peace. Give man enough time and he will solve all of his problems apart from Yahweh. We don't really need him because we're basically good people that do bad things. And the Bible tells us it's the total opposite. We're evil people, our intent is evil, and everything about us is evil. But at times we happen to do some good things. Genesis 1:28. Let's look at the beginning, what led up to this. Genesis 1:28. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, and the beasts, and all the beasts creeping on the earth." Adam is told to bear fruit for the kingdom. Exactly what Yeshua said. Like I said, I did that message last year on the purpose of man. And if you parallel the Genesis account of Adam's creation, and you parallel Yeshua coming to the earth in his ministry, and what was told to Adam in his job, and what was told Yeshua to his disciples, it's exactly the same thing. Bearing fruit and multiplying. You know, that's what it is. It's bearing fruit and multiplying. Now, we know Adam failed miserably. And what happened? Like I say, Adam did not lose a religion. Adam lost a kingdom. Adam abdicated his kingdom that was given. We just see he was given dominion. He was given rulership. Not ownership. Rulership, not ownership. But he was given dominion over the earth. Yahweh was colonizing the earth. What is the prayer that Yeshua told the people to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom's perfect in heaven. There's no problems in heaven right now. Problems are down here on earth. Because Yahweh was trying to colonize the earth as it is in heaven. And Adam abdicated his position, and Satan was very, very quick to fill the void, so to speak, and come in and take it up. Genesis 4:26. Let's see the progression now. By Adam's failure and him failing to come out to mankind and bringing the instruction of Yahweh, what was the result of that? Genesis 4:26. And a son was also born to Seth, and he called his name Enos. Then it was began to call on the name of Yahweh. If you look that word up, to call, it literally means to curse. It means to curse. People were not praying to Yahweh. They were not worshiping Yahweh. By Genesis 4, people are already knowing the name of Yahweh, but cursing the name of Yahweh. When there's absence of the right knowledge, the human nature that we have will automatically bring evil in very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. You can look in the world today, you can see the same thing. Look in areas where the word of Yahweh is completely void. Look at places like Red China and communistic Russia. Look at places like North Korea. You know, it's absolutely amazing. You know, in North Korea, these people are so blinded, they don't have any link to the outside world, that they actually did a survey there. BBC went there and they asked the North Korean people, beside Kim Jong-il, who they think is some kind of deity, they think he's some kind of Elohim, who would you consider a great leader? And their answer was Mao, Hitler. They didn't even know any modern day leaders. They didn't even know that they existed. They didn't even know their names. You know, when righteousness is void, when instruction is void, you're going to get evil real, real quick. And that's what we're seeing over here. People began to curse the name of Yahweh. Genesis 6, let's look at the end result of this. Genesis 6. And it came about that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of the Elohim saw the daughters of the men, that they were good. And they took wives for themselves from all those whom they chose. And Yahweh said, "My spirit shall not always strive with mankind, and their going astray, he is flesh. And his days shall be 120 years earth times." The giants were in the earth in those days, and even afterwards, when the sons of the Elohim came into the daughters of the men, and they gave birth to them, they were the heroes who existed from ancient time, men of renown. And Yahweh saw the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man whom I have created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to the creeping thing and to the birds of the heaven, for I repent that I made them. You say, well, you know, as a human being, that's, to me, that's one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible for me to read. That Yahweh would feel that way about his very creation, about us, about human beings. He would feel so disappointed, so sorrowful at the evil that our human nature has, that he would literally wipe off all man, woman, child, beast, everything off the earth. Of course, unless the 8 people who were with Noah on the ark and 2 of each animal. It's a very sobering scripture. I'm not going to read it. We read it at the beginning of the feast about Genesis 19 in Sodom and Gomorrah, the same evilness that went on the earth. And there's different times in history, you know, that there were evilness that went out. But you probably don't have a worse time than the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, where Yahweh wiped out everybody. He just wiped out everybody. Now we come to the end time. What does he tell us? He doesn't tell us it'll just be like the days of Noah, or it'll be like the days of Lot. He says it'll be like the days of Noah and Lot. You know, I mean, we got everything mixed in together. Confusion, covetousness, greed, money, sexual perversion. Everything that you can imagine that's evil with mankind and human nature is here in this world today. And it's growing like a cancer. Every single hour, every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year. And to me, the most disappointing part about it is that the people of Yahweh accept it. Not that they're doing it necessarily, but it's kind of like, yeah, I know it's bad, but I've heard a lot of people, what can you do? You know, what can you do? Wow. You know, this should appall us, what's going on out there. We should be absolutely appalled, shocked, frightened, feared that we're living in this time, that these things are happening before our eyes, that the Bible prophesied. And we see the evil everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Romans 3. With all the knowledge, with all the blessings, with all the finances, with everything that mankind has today, all the conveniences, all the technology. I mean, we have more things in this world today. And not all of them are bad. Technology isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of good things you can do with technology, you know? You could save life. You could do things with all the technology we have today. Fly around the world. You know, go up to the moon. When you look at what mankind has used all this knowledge for, it's only been evil. It's only been evil. This is the first generation in the history of mankind that we can eliminate every man, woman, and child off the planet. You couldn't think of it before. You know, when you would read Matthew 24, you couldn't figure out how could that happen. Everyone can't stab everyone and kill them. Now we have weapons that can literally wipe off every man, woman, and child off the planet. Not only one or two, you know, countries like America, countries like Russia, countries like China, they have thousands of them. How many times do you want to destroy what Yahweh created? You really need to do it thousands of times over? And they'll tell you, it's a deterrent. Oh yeah, sure. It's a deterrent. Let's see. Let's see how much of the deterrent is. You know, was it the deterrent in Hiroshima? You know, was it a deterrent in Nagasaki? Was it a deterrent when 500,000 people died, you know, when these bombs started going off? No. Nuclear weapons are not a deterrent. It certainly isn't a deterrent. And it's something that can destroy this earth very easily. Romans 3 and verse 10. And again, maybe you're thinking as I'm reading Genesis 6, well, you know, that's way back then, and that's even before the flood, and now it's a whole new world, and things have changed since then, and Yeshua came, we got the New Testament, people are kind of better. But let's see what he says in Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. According as it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. Not even one. There is not one understanding. There is not one seeking Yahweh. Not one. All turned away. They became worthless together.
Not one is doing goodness, not so much as one.
Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. And I think that's the biggest problem we see. There's no fear of Yahweh. There just is no fear of Yahweh. People don't fear to disobey. People don't fear to go their own way. People don't fear to do their own thing on the Sabbath or whatever it is. There's just no fear of Yahweh out there. And verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh." So that means all of us have a long way to go. Every single one of us. We can't sit here and be pious, you know, because, wow, you know, I believe in the commandments and I keep the name Yahweh. Because when I read this and it says there's not one, that includes me. That includes me. You know, all of us. Absolutely all of us. Mankind is evil and wicked. He lies. He gossips. He's self-motivated. He's greedy. And then the worst sickening thing to Yahweh is he justifies himself. And all of us do it all the time. All of us do it all the time. We want to justify ourselves. Why? We gossip. Why we lie. Why we malign. Why we're the way we are. And that's the worst thing we could do. Why not just admit it? Why not just admit our state? And that's the first sign of repentance. It's the first sign to change. We have to admit it. Just like you go to AAA. What do they call it? The 12-step program. First thing is admittance. If you don't admit it, you'll never get to repentance. You've got to admit your state before you can move. And not justify yourself. Luke 17 tells us about this generation that we're in. Luke 17 and verse 22, I'll start. And he said to the disciples, "Days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see. And they will say to you, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.' Do not go away nor follow. As for flash is lightning from heaven, and all that is under heaven is lit, such will be the Son of Man in his day. But first it is necessary that he suffer many things and be rejected by that generation." You ever read that in context? What generation is he talking about? He's not talking about the generation when he lived 2,000 years ago. Luke 17, as you'll see as I go on here, because the very next thing says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the days of the Son of Man." He's talking about our generation. So it's scary enough to see how wicked mankind has got. It's scary enough to see how all this technology is being used for evil. It's scary enough to see how much we're all hypocrites. But it's scarier to think, "But first it is necessary that he suffer many things and be rejected by the generation." That this whole generation before the end will actually reject Yeshua. You don't think it can happen? How many messianics out there are already denying his deity? Denying he pre-existed. And people meet with them. People let them into their congregations. People welcome them. "Man, you deny my Messiah, you get out." It's that simple. I don't care what you think about, write me on the internet. Do whatever you want to do. "You deny the person who died for me, you have no place in this room." And I'm not afraid or ashamed to say it. It's that simple. When are we going to stand up for truth? When are we going to stop being cowards and sitting back? Deal with ourselves first and then deal with the problems that are here. Too much of this we're allowing into our midst, into our lives, into our congregations. And many people are living double lives. And you know it. You know it. You know it's true. So many people are living double lives. More than we even know. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage." Same as we see today. "Until the day Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all. And likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, Yahweh rained down fire and brimstone from the heaven and destroyed all of them." And you'll see it. You're going to see it. The remains of that. In a few days, you will actually witness it. and still see the sulfur bowls that are still there today.
According to those things, it will be in the day the Son of Man is revealed.
Same thing we're saying.
In that day, he who is on the housetop, let him not go down to take his goods from the house. And likewise, he in the field, let him return to the things behind.
It's going to happen quick. Boom, like that. One day, the party is going on, and the next day, it's all crumbling down.
Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life, he will lose it. And whoever will lose it, he will preserve it. And I wonder, do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm saying here? Do you believe we're in the end time? And do you believe that this will happen exactly here? If you do, why are you trying to preserve your life? You know, why do we have 10 different insurances? Why? Why are we always working on preserving? Yeshua told us that unless you forsake everything, you could not be my disciple. See, our life is one of giving, day by day getting rid of everything, and most of the things, the wickedness that's in us. Every day we should be working to get rid of our pride, our self-righteousness, our double-mindedness, until all that is gone. You've got to work on it day in and day out. Day in and day out we have to work on it. But instead, we come from a society that wants us to never suffer loss. No matter what it is, you know, they never, never suffer loss. Like I said, buying brand new products, the best on the market, get the extended warranty. It's always the same thing. Never suffer loss. And it's a mindset. It's a mindset of giving up, or it's a mindset of holding on. And it's a choice we have to make. But I'm telling you, you will never get to the spot of being a true disciple of Yeshua if you have the mindset of holding on. That's the mindset that I'm reading here in Genesis 11 of the Tower of Babel. It's a mindset of holding. It's a mindset of collecting. It's a mindset of me. In the end times, people will be selfish, self-centered, disobedient to parents. That's where the mindset comes from. And this is what the Tower of Babel is all about. Uniting us all in one. It used to be each person, you know, grew their own food, provided their own substance. But we all know it's a different world today. You know, you could live in the United States in California and you could buy a piece of fruit from China. And the other way around. You know, it's a global world. It's amazing. But that's the world we live in. It's not as simple as it used to be. With the New World Order and world democracy, they've made the world one through technology and the internet through satellites. Through the New World Order, they made the world one through technology and the internet through satellites. Its top is the heavens. Let us build a tower, and its top is the heavens. That's where the satellites go. That's where they are. That's how everybody is connected. You know, that's why I say, be careful. Be careful. I'm going to read you some things tonight about TV and this internet. Be careful. Be careful of all these social networks. Tell me one social network that's made from Yahweh. Tell me it. I know sometimes Yahweh people want to mimic social networks. The world has MySpace. They want to make YahSpace. Like I said, it's not the way it works. We don't mimic them. They should be coming to us. That's the way it is. Get out from the world. You may think, well, that's his opinion. I'm telling you, the time is short, and you're going to be sorry if you don't. Get out from the world. This whole system of interconnection that the world is not a coincidence. And I'm telling you that it's demonic. I firmly believe that all of this end time technology, a lot of it has been given by demons to these people. If you study the New World Order and its origins, if you study Freemasonry and the people that are leading this thing, they literally worship Lucifer. There's nothing good in them, absolutely, absolutely nothing. And I could sit here, I've done it before a couple of years ago, I could historically prove it all to you. You know, I'm not going to come here and give you wild-eyed rumors, you know, of a hologram hitting the Empire State Building or the World Trade Center. I'll give you facts of how it started, who the people are, what they believe. It's written down, it's in the books. The people running this global world worship Lucifer. That is a fact. Freemasons at the 30th degree, they're told that Lucifer is God. In their own Bible,
It says, you need two gods. Lucifer is the good one. Yahweh is the bad one. You can read it for yourself. Just get one of their Freemason Bibles and you can see it. And these are the people that have connected the world. These are the people running things. These are the people that are putting people in power. And Yahweh's people are not abstaining from it. Like I said, come out of my people. It ends with leave your homeland and go abroad. It starts in here. It starts with coming out of the world. Coming out of the worldly system. Daniel 12:4. What does it say? We're seeing it. Could never imagine we could see as we are. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book till the end time. Many shall travel back and forth, and knowledge shall be increased. And what other time can it be talking about? Many shall travel back and forth, and knowledge will be increased. Knowledge, like I said, for mankind is primarily always used for evil. The knowledge is not bad. It's just that mankind will use it for evil. The knowledge could just as well be used for something good, but mankind uses it for evil. TV, movies, now the internet. And I can tell you 100% assuredly, Yahweh is not in Hollywood. Hollywood comes from the wood made from Merlin the magician's magic wand. It's made out of Hollywood. That's where the word comes from. It has to deal with every kind of immorality, every kind of mysticism, every kind of witchcraft. Yahweh is not in Hollywood. Now I will give you some statistics. Probably take me about 10 minutes to read this. I have 4 pages of them on TV and the internet. And if this does not shock you, I do not know what will. Starting out with TV. According to the Nielsen Company, they're the ones that do all the ratings. The average American watches more than 4 hours of TV each day, 28 hours a week, 2 months of nonstop TV watching per year, that's if you're going 24 hours a day. In a 74-year life, that person would have watched 10 years glued to the TV set. That's 10 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year. That's just on average. There's some people that watch very little or none, so it means most people are watching more than that. The number of hours of TV watched annually by Americans, 250 billion. 250 billion hours, just by Americans, per year. The number of minutes per week that parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children, 3.5. Number of minutes per week that parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children, 3.5. And yet, 250 billion hours of television watching a year. Number of minutes per week that the average child watches television, 1,680 minutes per week. The average child per week, 1,680 minutes. The hours per year the average American youth spends in schools is 900 hours. That's by law. The average American youth spends 900 hours in school. The average American youth spends 1,500 hours watching television. Almost double the time watching television of going to school. The average child, now remember what the Bible says, don't even look at the evil. Turn away from it. Put the evil away from you. The average child will watch 8,000 murders on TV before finishing elementary school. 8,000 murders. Now, before TV, most people would never in their life even see one murder. The average child sees 8,000 murders on TV before finishing elementary school. By age 18, the average American has seen 200,000 acts of violence on TV, including 40,000 murders. We're wondering why so many problems are coming in the world. What goes in is what goes out. Millions of Americans are so hooked on television that they fit the criteria for substance abuse as defined in the official psychiatric manual according to Rutgers University. So this is actually something that they're actually diagnosed as a substance abuse that they have to watch TV.
They can't not watch TV.
Millions of Americans. A National Health and Nutrition Examination survey released found 6.1 million children, and this is in America, between the ages of 6 and 17 to be severely overweight. Today, about 1 in 3 American children and teens are overweight or obese, nearly triple the rate from 1963. 1 in 3 now. 33% of our kids are obese. You know, I don't mean up there a few pounds. They're obese. Obese. The main culprit, inactivity. These same children watch more than 22 hours of television viewing a week and also have a high-calorie diet. A 1991 study showed that there was an average of 200 junk food ads in 4 hours of children's Saturday morning cartoons. 200 junk food ads, just in 4 hours of Saturday cartoon. And they know how to do it. They know how to work the mind, how to condition you. They really do. Children are not the only Americans suffering from weight problems. 1/3 of American adults are overweight. According to an American Journal of Public Health study, an adult who watches 3 hours of TV a day or more is far likely to be obese than an adult who watches less than 1 hour. That's not too hard to understand. Now, let's move on to the internet a little bit and television connected with it. There are more than 2 million pornographic websites. 2 million! 2 million pornographic websites. Hollywood currently releases 11,000 adult movies per year, pornographic movies, more than 20 times the mainstream movie production. So this is Hollywood. 20 times more pornography movies than regular movies. What does that tell you? You think they're out there doing this for volunteer work? It's all money. It's money. So if they're producing this, that means people are watching it. 55% of movies rented in hotels in 2005 were pornographic, 55%. The average teenager spends 3 to 4 hours per day watching television, and 83% of the programming most frequently watched by adolescents contains some kind of sexual contact, 83%. 1/3 of 13-year-old boys admitted to viewing pornography. 1/3. Last year, Comcast, they're the largest cable company in America, pulled in $50 million from adult programming, pornography. All the nation's top cable operators, from Time Warner to Cablevision, distribute sexually explicit material to their subscribers. DirecTV, I think everybody knows what that is, made over $500 million on pornography. It's more than what all their overall profit is in all the rest of their business. The other areas, everyone is losing money. The only thing they're making money with is pornography. DirecTV, one of the biggest producers in America. The big hotel chains, Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, Sheraton, Holiday Inn, which all offer pornography on in-room pay-per-view television systems. And they are purchased by a whopping 50% of their guests, accounting for 70% of their in-room profits. These are the biggest hotel chains in the world, all making all their money on pornography. One owner of the chain said, "We have to have it, our guests demand it." 87% of university students are having sex over webcams, instant messenger, or the telephone. 87%. 45% of adults believe there's nothing wrong with pornography. That's about half the people. 1 in 2 don't even see that there's a problem with it. April 6, 2007, 70% of Christians admitted to struggling with pornography in their daily lives. 70% of Christians. This comes from a poll from CNN. A 1996 Promise Keepers, everybody know who Promise Keepers are? Survey of one of their stadium events revealed that over 53% of the men in attendance were involved with pornography within 1 week of attending that event. Pastors.com website, our leaders in the so-called Christian world, they conducted a survey on pornography of 1,351 pastors. 64% of the pastors had viewed internet pornography within the year, and 40% had visited in the last 30 days. In a survey of 500 Christian men at a men's retreat, over 90% admitted they were feeling disconnected from Elohim because of lust, pornography, or fantasy had gained a foothold in their lives. 90%. At $13.3 billion, the 2007 revenues of the sex and pornography industry in the United States were bigger than the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. Worldwide sex industry sales for 2007 were reported at $97 billion. To put this in perspective, Microsoft, the biggest company in the world, the biggest company that is on the Dow Jones, the biggest company that every computer goes by, their revenue was $44 billion. Half of what pornography was. Microsoft. Tell me, there is an epidemic, there is a problem, and nobody is facing it. 60% of all websites visited are sexual in nature. Comes from MSNBC survey. Then they did a survey of the most searched for subjects on the internet. You know, you have that little box and you search for it. Here are the five top searches worldwide on the internet. First one is sex related and pornography. Top search of going. Second one is Hollywood stars. The third one is video games. The fourth one is music. The fifth one is personals finding partners. The sexual and pornography is more than the other four combined. Don't tell me the internet is not that bad. Don't tell me it hasn't affected our society. You know what? I'd rather not have email. I'd rather not have whatever benefit I'm getting out of it than see millions and billions of people that are going to lose their eternal life over this trash. It is that bad. It is that bad. And it grieves me that the people of Yahweh are not dealing with it. Instead of dealing with it, they're joining it. All these social networks are not from Yahweh. The internet and what Satan has set up to grab people into pornography. And don't think it's just men, as you'll see here. Because just as many women are addicted to it as men are. It is an epidemic. It is an epidemic in the West, and it's an epidemic worldwide. A 2000 MSNBC.com survey found that as many as 80% of visitors to sex sites were spending so much time tracking down sex on the computer that they were putting their real-life relationships and jobs at risk. Until, and listen to this, until they discovered cybersex, most of these people had no problem with sexual addiction. None. Satan knows that. He knows human nature. He knows how to get to people. What do you think it is? You can innocently be going on Yahoo, checking your email, and all of these kind of ads come up. All of these things come up. Because Satan knows exactly how to get you. Every second, listen to this, every second, $3,075 is being spent on pornography. Every second. 28,258 internet viewers are viewing pornography every second. 372 new internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines every second. New ones. And every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being made in the United States. Every 39 minutes. This comes from Internet Filter Review, 2006. 79% of youth are exposed to sexual explicit internet material by unwanted exposure to pornography accidentally in the home. 79%. Kids. These are kids. These are 13-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old that are innocently going on the computer to do homework and coming up with pornography. Because that's the way they have it set up. According to IDC, a technology research firm, by the end of 2004, approximately 21 million 5 to 19-year-olds had wireless phones. Why do you kids need phones? Why? I look around, no matter where I go, it's Israel, it's Cyprus, it's America, it's everywhere. Why on earth do kids 10 and 12 and 14 need telephones? Texting, 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 day and night, day and night. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. And you're wondering why we're losing our kids. You really wonder it. I mean, I wonder what is going on in the minds of the parents. Children should not have cell phones. They don't need them. Especially now, it's not just a phone. Maybe if it was just a phone, that's one thing. Now the next thing, you think Satan is stupid? No. Now those phones, all whatever you want to call them, whatever names they come up with, Black Bear and all this other stuff, they all have all this internet stuff on it. You can get everything now. So now, it used to be, you know, you had to go to the movie theater. And then it was, you know, in your house, maybe on Saturday evenings at midnight. But as Satan keeps going on, now it's not only on your computer 24 hours a day, it's hooked to your cell phone, and you can take it everywhere you go, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these kids are doing it. Most teenagers are doing it. They're hooked on it. They're addicted to it. And it's sickening, it's sin, and it's leading them into more and more unrighteousness.
Amen.
Try to tell me what righteousness is in all this garbage in these cell phones. Is Yahweh's word coming through it? Are they getting calls from their friends with the word of Yahweh? No way. No way. It's all worldly stuff. Texting this. You know, good life, party tonight, everything else. Adult content on mobile telephones and other portable devices is anticipated to hit $1 billion during 2005. It's way over that by now. 48% of K, first graders, five-year-olds, 48% reported viewing sexual-related material online content that made them feel uncomfortable. Again, by accident. But let me tell you something. They're getting it by accident at 5. Where do you think they'll be at 10 and 12? You know, what's going through our minds? You know, we have to protect our children. We're losing them. And many of them we've already lost. 20% of teens have created private email addresses or social networking profiles to hide what they do online from their parents. How many parents even know what's going on with their children? 63% of teens said they know how to hide what they do online from their parents and clear the browser history. You know, you might think you're smart, but when it comes to this technological stuff, these kids are smarter than we are. And you might think, oh, no, Johnny's telling me he's not looking at this. They know how to do it. They talk with their friends. They know how to disguise it. Teens readily post personal info online. 64% post photos or videos of themselves, while more than half, 58%, post info about where they live. 56% give this information to people they don't know. There was just a big thing just in the last few weeks on Facebook, how private information is being stolen and used. You know, I was saying, my brother who's on that thing gets a call from a friend I had years and years and years ago. Fred, are you in trouble? No. Somebody stole his identity on Facebook and told everybody he was stuck in England and needed money. Your teens are doing this, putting personal information up there. They don't know any better, but it's up to you to teach them. 20% of teens have engaged in cyberbullying behaviors, including posting mean or hurtful information, or embarrassing pictures, spreading rumors, publicizing private communications, sending anonymous emails, or cyberpranking somebody. Where do you think they're getting it from? I'm telling you, I see it just as bad and even worse sometimes in the congregation with adults. At the flick of a pen, sending rumors, sending false information, you know, demonizing somebody who did nothing wrong, you know, or wasting all this junk mail, you know, sending all these kind of things every day. Some people send out 20 and 30 different things every day and little poems and all this other stuff. Come on, it's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. And get away from all this nonsense. 71% of teens have established online profiles, including those on social networks such as MySpace, Friendster, Zagner, up to 61% from 2006. So now, and I think it's even closer to 80%, they've set up, your children have set up profiles on these networks. Even know about it. 65% of high school students admit to unsafe, inappropriate, or illegal activities online. 65% high school students. Of age 13 and 14, 90% of males 13 to 14, 90% of males and 70% of females reported accessing sexually explicit media content at least once. 90% of males, 70% of females. 9 out of 10 children between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed pornography on the internet. 90% between the ages of 8 and 16. In most cases, the sex sites were accessed unintentionally when a child, often in the process of doing homework, used a seemingly innocent-sounding word to search for information or pictures. It comes from the London School of Economics in January 2002. It's probably higher than that. The number of cases in which children receive court orders or warnings for sex offenses has jumped 20% in the last 3 years. Experts blame the internet, saying that the youth behavior has been changed by ready access to sexual imagery. 69% of teens regularly receive personal messages online from people they don't know, and most of them don't tell a trusted adult about it. Many times the information transmitted is sexually explicit. 30% of teenage girls polled by the Girl Scout Research Institute said they had been sexually harassed in a chat room. Only 7%, however, told their mothers or fathers about the harassment because they were worried that their parents would ban them from going online. 86% of the girls polled said they could chat online without their parents knowing it. The number of television sexual scenes has almost doubled since 1998. 70% of all TV shows have some sexual content, averaging 5 sexual scenes per hour, up among the top 20 most popular shows among teens, 70% include sexual content and behavior. The average number of hours that people spend online each week for leisure activities, non-work, has grown over the years, hovering at 7 hours from 1999 to 2002. And this isn't work-related. This is just leisure. To 8 to 9 hours from 2003 to 2006, to 11 hours in 2007, and is now peaking at 15 to 16 hours per week on average. That's just leisure time. Nothing with work. I know some people need to use a computer with work. The age group that spent the most time online were 30 to 39-year-olds, peaking out at 18 hours per week. The total number of U.S. adults on the internet is 184 million, around 80% of the total population, according to the poll. That's up from 56% in 2000. That's a Harris poll. And again, you talk about cell phones. You know, don't even get into that. And you wonder, like I said, 60% of marriages are ending in divorce. 90% of marriages that don't seem to be unhappy. Most children are unhappy. And it's because people are not working on personal relationships. They're just not. We're human beings. Relationships take time. They take nurturing. And like I said, if our worry is all getting on to whether it's a news report and we want to give our little spiel of what we think of an article, or we want to give our opinion to what somebody else thinks of the article, or whether you're going on your social network, or whether you're going on something else, whatever time, and like I said, you may have to spend some time on the internet. I'm not here to judge you for that. But what I'm saying is, every time spent, every minute spent on TV and the internet is 1 minute that's not spent on our family, our friends, and Yahweh. And there's only so many hours in a day. And I've had many people give me all these excuses why they don't have time for prayer and Bible study. And yet somehow, I'm looking at this and I'm amazed. I'm just absolutely amazed. And I'm saying, this is an epidemic. You know, I remember last year, remember swine flu? They were getting millions of shots. Get everybody, it's an epidemic. When less than 1,000 people were actually infected. There's 100,000 people that die every year from the regular flu. This is an epidemic. We're looking between 50 and 90% of our youth are somehow involved in something with this. Whether it's sexually oriented or it's cyberbullying or whatever it is an epidemic. And if you could read those scriptures in the days of Noah and the days of Lot and not see that as I read this, then Yahweh help you. Because I'm telling you, this scares me. When I was studying this to put it together, I had no idea. I knew it was bad. I had no idea it's an epidemic. and worse in the Christian circles than the world. It's scary to think. We are close to the end. We are close to the end. How long can our Father let this go on for? You know, and that generation that came out of World War II that had morals and values, and they might not know the name of Yahweh, and they might not even know the Sabbath day. But those people had morals and values, and stayed with their wife forever, and did all these things, and they're honest, and they don't lie, and they're dying off. And man, Yahweh, help us when all we're left with is the baby boomers. Because from then on, it is just, it ain't a lot to look forward to. Because the younger generation has not been taught. It is an epidemic. It's an absolute epidemic. Are you pulling people out of the world, or are they pulling you back? That's what you have to ask yourself. Why, as people of Yahweh, why would we be imitating Satan's devices? Why would we want any part of it? What would be the purpose of it? Babylon and world democracy are brainwashing and conditioning people through exploiting them through TV and internet. I don't think it's true. Commercials do it all the time. 30 seconds to a minute, a commercial can get a billion people to buy Coca-Cola. Who would buy Coca-Cola? I mean, Coca-Cola is sugar water. It doesn't taste good. There's nothing good about it. It's not cheap. Why would anyone buy Coca-Cola? Because you're conditioned. Because they know how to condition your nervous system and work your mind through that commercial. Commercials aren't just made. They know exactly. A commercial is made to get into your mind and manipulate you and brainwash you. You know, whether it's American Express showing the father having the heart attack at American Express coming to the aid in the middle of the night. Give me a card! Give me a card! I want it! They manipulate you. Commercials do it all the time, and it's Satan knows how to do it. He knows how to manipulate you. He knows how your mind works. And I'm telling you, he has been doing it through TV and internet, and there's a good movie that sometimes we show at the school called Time Changer, which shows you how much society has gotten worse in the last 100 years. But the woman said something that was very interesting. Because there's times in the past I thought, wow, you know, if they can go back to the TV days of the father knows best and leave it to beavers. But she made a very important point in there. From the beginning, TV may have had a morality, like father knows best and leave it to beaver. But Yahweh was never in TV from the beginning. He never was. You don't see these families praying. You don't see them going to Yahweh with their problems. You don't see it centered around bringing up children in the word of Yahweh. So TV was doomed to fail from the very beginning, even when they had some morals to it. Because all that is secular humanism. And as the decades went on, you know, when you went from the Father Knows Best to the Al Bundys to who knows what they have today. I haven't watched modern TV in probably close to 30 years now. It just has gotten worse and worse and worse, progressively worse. Where they bring their morality to people and water down your brain to accept homosexuality and every other thing. And say, well, just don't judge. Just don't judge. Let's go to Zechariah 5. I want to show you a couple of things here. Now, this is part of prophecy being fulfilled. And it's part of Babylon's downfall. If you go back and you look at every major society, every major world superpower in history, whether it was Babylon or Rome or Greece, the one deciding factor that destroyed every major superpower and empire was when immorality passed 50%. That was in a society. There is not a society in the history of man where morality passed 50% that they lasted more than one generation. And like I said, we're at now an immorality rate of anywhere from 70 to 90%, somewhere around that, when you look at it. And we're certainly not training the next generation to overcome that. When you look at these statistics, it's just shocking to think that our kids are already been, our children have already been overtaken. But Zechariah 5 is very interesting. It's a prophecy about Babylon. And it says, "And again I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, and its width 10 cubits." Do you know that that is exactly the size of the satellites that go up in the sky that are used for the TV and the internet? Exactly. Exactly the same size. Remember, they built the tower with its top the heavens. And I firmly believe this is talking about satellites. And he said to me, "This is the curse that goes forth over the face of all the earth." And I am telling you, the worst curse that ever came to mankind is satellite. It is the worst curse that ever came to mankind. "For from now on, everyone who steals shall be cut off according to it, and everyone who swears from now on, he shall be cut off according to it. And I will bring it forth, says Yahweh of hosts, and it shall go into the house of the thief and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And it shall remain within his house, and he shall finish it and its timber and its stones." Then the angel who was speaking with me went out and said to me, "Now lift up your eyes and see what this is that goes forth." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "This is the ephah that goes forth." And he said, "This is their form in all the earth. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and a woman was sitting in the middle of the ephah." And he said, "This is wickedness." And he threw her into the midst of the ephah, and he threw the lead stone over its opening. And I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, two women came out, double wickedness. And the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah from between the earth and the heavens. Where do those satellites sit? Between the earth and the heavens? Between the earth and the heavens. Remember, Babylon is when there's two heads of the family. Babylon is about double punishment, double rebellion. One woman goes in, two women comes out. It's not just like the days of Noah. It's like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything you see with Babylon is double because the wickedness is double, just like it says here. And I said to the angel who was speaking with me, "Where are you going with the ephah?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar." Where is that? Babylon. "And it shall be erected and set there on its own base." Very interesting. Do you know that before America went into Iraq in 2003, that Iraq was the only area in the world that did not have satellite? One of the first things they did when America overtook Iraq and set up their base there, they sent the last satellite up in the sky, so now everywhere in the earth is one there. Exactly like the scripture says. Exactly like the scripture says. Very interesting when you're looking at this aspect of double rebellion, double punishment, double woman in here, like it says in Babylon. 1973, what did America build? Downtown New York City. Twin Towers. The Twin Towers. At that time, they were the two tallest towers in the world. With their top, the heavens. What was on the very top of the Twin Towers? The antennas for the satellite. All the cell phones, everything. At that time, I worked. In New York, I had Motorola phones because I had a courier service. And all of our signals came from the top of the Twin Towers. Not one building was built in Babylon. Two buildings were built in Babylon. Double evil, double punishment. I'm telling you, as evil as some of these other societies were, nothing has remotely touched the evil that we have in the world today. And not that our human nature is any worse than theirs. We just have a greater avenue to bring the evil. They didn't have that avenue. They didn't have an avenue. Did Satan ever before have an avenue where he can get the evil into everyone's life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? It wasn't there. It wasn't available because it wasn't Yahweh's timing yet. So Yahweh held back from allowing all this technology to come. But he knew how long it would last. All he had to do was open up the floodgates, let it in. He knew exactly how long it would be before we destroy ourselves with it. And like I said, internet could be the greatest thing in the world if it was used for the word of Yahweh. TV could be the greatest thing in the world if it was used for the word of Yahweh. But nature is human nature, and it's not being used for the word of Yahweh. Very little. I wouldn't say not at all. But I'm saying overall, it's not. Overall, it has been the worst curse to come on mankind, and is the very thing that's bringing the end time. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50 and verse 21. And I say Jeremiah 50 and 51. Of course, these are end time scriptures. They've never been fulfilled before. But there's something called ciphers about Babylon. A cipher is where they change the letters of the word to hide the meaning of it. And this is one of those ciphers. It says, go up against the land of Maranatha. And again, they took the letters of the name and they switched them around to come up with Maranatha, which means double bitterness, double punishment. Go up against the land of Maranatha, double bitterness, double punishment. Against it and against the dwellers of Pekod. Another cipher, which means visitation or punishment. Waste and destroy after them, says Yahweh, and do according to all that I have commanded you. Maranatha, double bitterness, double punishment. Revelation 18, verse 4 through 8. Revelation 18, verse 4 through 8. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her my people, that you may not share in her sins, and you may not receive of her plagues. Because her sins joined together even reach up to the heaven. What was the tower about? Building the tower to the skies. Their sins together reached to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. Give back to her, as also she gave back to you, and double to her double according to her works. And the cup which she mixed, mixed to her double. By what thing she glorified herself and luxuriated? By so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I now shall not see sorrow. Because of this, in one day her plague shall come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh judging her is strong. Very clear. Double punishment is coming because there's a double wickedness in these satellites, the TV and the internet, a double wickedness that the world has never seen before. Isaiah 30 and verse 25. I honestly believe that the falling of the Twin Towers was literally the sign of the beginning of the end for Babylon. The beginning of the end of Babylon. Isaiah 30 and verse 25. It says, and on every high mountain and on every high hill shall be rivulets lifted up, streams of water, in a great day, in a day of great slaying, when towers fall. When towers fall. Zephaniah 3 in verse 6. Yahweh's judgment. And again, you'll see as I read the rest of this is clearly end time. Zephaniah 3 and verse 6. I have cut off nations. Their towers are ruined. I made their streets waste so that none passes by. Their cities are laid waste without a man, from there being not one living there. Their towers are laid waste. Their cities are ruined. Yahweh's judgment is coming. There's no way that our Heavenly Father is going to allow this epidemic to go on much longer. And the only thing we can do is abstain from it. Do everything in our power to abstain from it. Zephaniah 3, and I'll read verse 8 through 20. And think about what we read in the very beginning with Genesis 11, when all the lip, all the language of the people was one, Yahweh called it evil. Listen what he says here in Zephaniah 3:8. It says, therefore, wait for me, declares Yahweh, for the day I rise up to the prey. For my judgment is to gather the nations, for me to gather the kingdoms, to pour my fury out on them, all my hot anger. For all the earth shall be burned up with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will give a clear lip to all the people, a pure speech, a clear lip. See, mankind's idea of a pure lip is what I just read four pages of that sickens me to my stomach that I even have to read this to you. That's mankind's way of one language. You know, the internet is one language. That's the universal language. Every single nation on the earth has learned computer language and English through that. And there is a universal language like the Tower of Babel, and it is the internet, which is only used for defilement. But he says, in that day, I will give a pure language, a clear lip to the people to call all of them by the name of Yahweh, to serve him with one shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughters of my scattered ones, shall bring my food offering. In that day you shall not be ashamed from all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away those who rejoice in your pride out of your midst. You shall not again be proud any more in my holy mountain. And I will also leave a people poor and weak in your midst, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do injustice, nor speak lies. And a deceitful tongue shall not be found in their mouth. You know, when I look at internet being used for gossip, maligning, tearing down, not building up, where do you think the children are getting this from? You're getting it from the parents. For they shall feed and lie down, and no one shall frighten them. Shout for joy, daughter of Zion. Shout, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has turned off your judgments. He has turned away your enemy. Yahweh, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You shall not fear evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not. Zion, do not let your hands droop. Yahweh, your Elohim, is mighty in your midst. He will save Yeshua. He will rejoice over you with joy. He is silent in his love. He rejoices over you with a joyful heart. I will gather the afflicted ones from the appointed place. They were from you a lifting up of reproach over her. Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you, and I will save her who is lamed and gather her who is thrust out. And I will give them for a praise and a name in all the land of their shame. In that time I will bring you, even in the time I gather you. For I will give you for a name and for a praise among all the peoples of the earth. And I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says Yahweh. This is the pure language that we should be looking for. This is the time, the pure language, like we said, is the instruction of Yahweh. The pure language is everything out of our mouth. Whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is just, whatever is of good report, whatever is edifying, think on these things, brethren. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that all brethren or people, whatever, are all involved in pornography by far, though it's an epidemic. But what I'm saying is, how pure is your language? How pure is your language? The Tower of Babel was all about the world being of one lip. And I read tonight what that lip is. It's evil, it's vile, it's immoral. What is the lip of the people of Yahweh? What is our lip? Is our lip filled with love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, encouragement, help? What is it? What is our lip? You know, because if not, we're nothing but hypocrites. We got a long way to go. It's a rough time we're heading into. But I'm telling you, the first thing we have to do is sanctify these walls and come out of that world. We will never become the people that we want to be individually or we want to be collectively while we're mimicking Satan's society. We will never be that way. And everybody that's been to the Bible school, you know what I always say. Every year the fathers taught me an amazing lesson that I keep with me. Each year. And the very first year was, your environment is 90% of your battle. Your environment is 90% of your battle. And if you're in the wrong environment, it is almost impossible to overcome. You have to get yourself in an environment that is conducive to the word of Yahweh. The internet is eroding personal relationships. There's no doubt about it. Too much time is being spent. And it's just, think about it. This is just the beginning of it, too. This isn't something that's been here for 500 years. The internet is brand new. It's here, what, 15 years and it's already this bad? How do you think it'll be 50 years from now? If it's this bad now, where are we going? And that's what I say. I'm telling you, with all my heart and being, I know we are very close to the kingdom of Yahweh coming. We need to live every day and every breath for that kingdom. Because this world is crumbling around us as we go. Like I said, a lot of people are more worried about playing chess with somebody in Russia than taking care of their own children. We want to make sure we're working on our marriages, our relationships. We're spending time with our children and our family, and all the other things need to come to the side. The internet is a universal language but it's vile, immoral, and disgusting in the eyes of Yahweh. There's more and more immorality, heresy, gossip, confusion than ever before. And I just want to ask you one thing. A question, to a rhetorical question. Don't want an answer, but think to yourself. Has the internet made things easier and better in the world? Has the last 15 years of the internet really made the world a better place? And I say no. I say we have doubled the confusion than we had 15 years ago. Babylon will be completely destroyed, and so will the vileness of the internet and TV and all any other vile thing that is in this world that man has and is used to defile himself. Babylon's double punishment is coming, and its towers will never rise again. So again, believe me, I hate the fact to have to give a message like this. I hate it. It doesn't make me happy. I don't leave here uplifted. I don't leave here encouraged. But there's times these things have to be given. Not necessarily even for us. I don't know. But I know when you look at the epidemic that's in this world, it's got to go out there. People have to understand this problem, and they have to be made aware of it. And especially if you have younger children. Because I'm telling you, Satan is like a lion just waiting there to get them any way he can. So Yahweh bless you all. We will see you in the morning. 8 o'clock is breakfast, and then services at 2. Shabbat Shalom.